Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Siviwe Khwarube, who is the DA Shadow Minister of Health. A very, very good morning to you, and thanks for taking time to speak to us. How are you doing?
Good morning, and good morning to listeners.
So it's no secret that we aren't exactly shooting the lights out with our vaccine program. It must be very difficult from a DA's perspective, and especially being the DA Shadow Minister of Health, to be sitting and watching this and knowing that it's costing lives along the way.
Yes, I mean, look, the biggest tragedy here is the fact that there's obviously been a series of both avoidable and unavoidable delays when it has come to the vaccination rollout. And and we have now seen a situation where South Africa is now firmly getting into the third wave, and it's looking incredibly destructive. You look at the numbers that are coming from Gauteng, and you look at the state of the health system, where it hasn't really improved much since the first wave of infections last year. And so now we're going to be in a situation where, you know, we could have vaccinated a number of people, particularly those who are most vulnerable to this virus. And at the very least, we would know that with the vaccination plan that is in place, that people will not be would at least be spared from severe illness and from overwhelming the health system. Without a proper vaccination plan, we are shooting in the dark.
It's so interesting, because initially when COVID-19 became a thing back in, certainly in South Africa, back in March of 2020, the DA was very, very supportive of government, supportive of the strategy. But of course that fell apart fairly quickly when we started to see corruption, we started to see mismanagement around the vaccines. So it's very obvious now that the ANC is pretty much on their own in terms of how they're dealing with this.
Yes, and look, it was incredibly important for us, because, you know, there comes a time in every democracy where, regardless of party affiliation, when it comes to the issue of saving lives, that you, across party political lines, that you get together and you get behind a strategy in order for you to make sure that government gets what gets done, what it needs to get done. And that is exactly why we have changed our support to government, to say this is beyond political jostling. This is now about saving lives very quickly, because we've seen, now this is back in March 2020, we've seen how Italy has, the Italian health system has completely crumbled. We've seen various countries across the European continent who are really battling with this pandemic. And so the plans that need to be put in place, we are fully behind you so that you can get that done, so you can save lives. And so when the president announced the initial lockdown of 21 days, we as the DA were fully behind it. We knew it was destructive for jobs. We knew that many people would struggle with this. But of course, we were fully behind it, because the president made a very compelling argument that we would use that 3 weeks to build health systems capacity so that we can be in a position to be able to deal with the rising infections as we were progressing in the pandemic. But of course, none of that didn't happen. And as you say, a myriad of other things started to unfold around corruption, around unreadiness of the system, around the lack of transparency, and just the use of lockdowns as a strategy, as opposed to really dealing with the matter at source. And so we did withdraw our support to say, well, I mean, we supported you saving lives, but this is not the way to go about it. And but we repeatedly sent inputs and suggestions to the presidency, because of course ours is the aim to make sure that we save lives and livelihoods.
The situation in Gauteng is particularly bad at the moment. We now don't even have the use of the Charlotte Makeke Hospital. Nasrec, I don't think, is open. What do you see happening in order to assist the medical infrastructure through this period?
Look, I mean, the issue in housing is particularly worrying, because, of course, you know, the province is now the epicenter of the third wave of infections at the moment, and a 1,000-bedded hospital, like Charlotte Makeke, is now out of commission. we had met with the Gauteng Department of Health last week, where we asked particularly, you know, what are some of the delaying factors, and they've said there's a whole host of reasons around compliance, and that's why they're able to get this hospital up and running. But the reality is that there couldn't be anything more, there couldn't be a bigger crisis right now. And so it matters less what some of the compliance issues are, that the province should be putting all their efforts in ensuring that they comply with fire regulations and they get that hospital open. And the reality is that now, and we welcome the fact that they've now said various people can, various sites will be welcoming walk-ins for people to get their data, because it's absolutely crucial. We've got to get through to the people who are over the age of 60 so that we can be able to make sure that all our frontline workers are covered, so that we can start moving on to people who are under 60 but who have intense comorbidity. Because those are the people, those are the high-risk people, the frontline workers, those over 60, and those with comorbidity. At the very least, if we can, by the end of July, have made sure that those people who are particularly at high risk are covered, we would be in a far better position. And so that's why everything must be done to make sure that we ready the health system, but more critically, we ramp up the vaccination process.
The process has been a series of blunders. If I was thinking about it this morning, if we had just vaccinated 1 million people with AstraZeneca, even if it was imperfect, we would be in a significantly better position. We've just seen this happening over and over. The latest Johnson & Johnson obviously is not the fault of, it's not anyone's fault, but it is because we're so far behind. If we weren't so far behind, then that would have just been dealt with, and we would have continued in our stride.
And that's the critical point. That of course there are unavoidable delays that you will encounter, right? And where you'll realize that, you know, the vaccine is not so efficient against a particular variant, or where you realize that there's been a contamination and the global entities are saying throw this away. But as you say, this is a critical point. But had the vaccination process started in earnest back in February, when the prisons and the Minister of Health got their jabs, where we would be vaccinating the 1.2 million healthcare workers just in those couple of weeks following that alone, then we would have already reached a couple of million people over 60. We'd already be now working through those people with comorbidity. But somehow the process was completely and criminally slow, to the point where there were days we wouldn't vaccinate a single healthcare worker in South Africa with no valid explanation. And so, yes, of course, you know, you get countries like the UK who have a 45% vaccination rate and who are still having to contend with restrictions. But at the end of the day, they're in a far better position now than they were before they vaccinated people.
And one of our listeners making a very good point. He says the contamination of the J&J vaccine adds to the credibility and the distrust around vaccines. And we've seen that, because we had that with AstraZeneca. Then suddenly they stopped the J&J. Then they started the J&J. And all of this works to increase vaccine hesitancy, which is very much the last thing we need at the moment as well.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I do want to encourage South Africans to say that, look, this is a vaccine, and a vaccine rollout plan is possibly our best way out of this potential nightmare.
Probably.
And of course, no vaccine will ever be perfect. But also, it's also quite important to note that we've got a pretty that regulator in the country, that has been doing incredible work. And so we've got to trust that, you know, we've got these scientists who are working tirelessly to make sure that we get the safest vaccines possible. And the listener is absolutely right, because that now this contributes to vaccine hesitancy. And people then become scared to take a vaccine, and to encourage people, those who are most vulnerable, to take it. And that's why you, as government has to guard this matter jealously, to make sure that no such mistakes are starting to happen. You know, I was very disheartened to hear messages from our political leaders, some political leaders in the country yesterday, saying that until we get a vaccine, we won't be complying with level 3 regulations. Now, those things are absolutely, absolutely reckless. Because if you start to encourage people to really start to ignore the science and start to ignore the measures we've been told save lives, we are headed towards a very difficult path in South Africa.
Absolutely. Very, very frightening indeed. And I do think that we need to hold our leaders accountable as well. You can't make statements like that. You can't scream about shutting down schools and in a crowd that looks like a super spreader event.
Yeah.
I just think we have to be responsible. Siviwe Khwarube, thank you for chatting to us. DA Shadow Minister of Health. It is.